This is international film and television star Nick Searcy, and for some unknown reason, you are now listening to Off the Hook Radio. God help you all.
Nancy Pelosi, eat me.
Oh, my God. You're picking on poor Nancy Pelosi again.
Sorry.
Every week you pick on the poor old woman.
Right, well, I won't pick on her next week.
It's all right. I don't care. She's right. Still mean and nasty. Some people deserve to be picked on, right, Rick?
Yeah, she's one of them, but I'm not picking anything on her.
You're not?
Oh, no.
You fear her?
I don't fear her. She's just, ew. She's just nasty.
Just rather not think about her.
I'm not. You're making me think about her now.
Well, he does that every week.
We're going to, you know what, Brent, damn it, it's your fault.
Brent is a no holds barred off the hooker.
Off the hooker?
He's off the hooker. That's why he's here.
Are they on Florida or Nebraska?
We actually have a street in Tampa, Brent. Florida, Nebraska Street.
Really?
I have no idea why. Do you know why, Rick?
I don't know.
It just didn't make any sense to me. If you're in Florida, why would you want to go to Nebraska?
Yeah, really. Well, you're in Florida, so it's cold.
Should be a one-way street coming south. So I think it makes sense to me. Anyway. Welcome to Off the Hook Radio for March 30th,
2021.
Barbara Walters still has a cold.
Yep.
Okay.
She'll always have a cold until 2022.
Okay.
You definitely should have hosted this year's New Year's Eve party.
Barbara Walters should have?
Oh, yeah, definitely, because when the ball dropped, she could have went, hello, this is Barbara Walters, and this is 2020.
And then, well, she did this year. She goes, this is the end of 2020. Yeah. But those idiots at Off the Hook will keep using it, won't they? Anyway, last week we had the first Biden presidential press conference. That was the big news. You know, he told us 9 or 10 days ahead of time, that's what it's going to be. So no president in modern history has ever waited that long to have a press conference. And no president in modern history has ever told the press 9 days ahead of time he was having one. But I think they needed all that time. Because while this is his first one, we noted that he took 10 questions in his press conference. And he also had a picture book on the podium there with him.
It's got to feel like he's in kindergarten.
It had the media folks' faces in it. And it had numbers beside their heads. So he knew what, you know, I know he's getting old and everything, but at least he can still count to 10. So he would call those people. And then, of course, they would ask the question that he had the answer written down on a little note card that he would read back. So I did a post. It wasn't a press conference. It was a play. It was rehearsed. But the questions were pre-submitted, and they, you know, the press, they wanted to make him look good. And I think they did a fantastic job, actually. I have to give him credit. We have a clip to judge the effect of the pre-submitted questions at the first Joe Biden presidential press conference. Slim?
So the best way to get something done, if it holds near and dear to you that you like to be able to... Anyway. We're going to get a lot done. And if we have to, if there's complete lockdown and chaos as a consequence of the filibuster, then we'll have to go beyond what I'm...
That's why, actually.
Yeah. What?
He's clueless. And that wasn't the only time he did one of those moves. He did that numerous times.
Anyway.
So apparently they can't even do this right when they cheat. Is that what we're saying?
Well, no, next time they're going to just give him a picture book with just the 10 reporters he's calling on and not everybody else. They're going to make it foolproof, and they're going to put him in order for
it. Oh, they want to flip any pages.
They want to flip pages. Yeah. They're going to make this foolproof next time. Only the 10 reporters he's asking questions to. Did anybody notice? Did he have an ear? Was he wearing an earpiece?
No. Everything on little note cards.
It was all on note cards. Okay.
Yeah.
He definitely couldn't read them.
I don't know. This clown thinks he can come take our guns. He can't even take a question. I mean, come on. Get real. Anyway. But of course, there is no crisis at the border. Don't be believing the hype. There's no crisis. That's what they're telling us. It's all Trump's fault. You know, the guy who built the fence and was almost done, and then they stopped the work on the fence. The next guy stopped the work on the fence. But it's the first guy's fault that they're coming in now. Is anybody actually buying this shit? Anybody?
Not me.
Not at all.
Here's how bad it's getting. This kills me. I've got a lot of California stories tonight. Here's the first one. And I got to get rid of the Candace ad. God, I hate this. Every time I click on a story from Daily Wire, I got to look at Candace.
Sign up and watch Candace's show. I don't want to watch Candace's show.
I like Candace, but I'm not paying money to watch Candace. Goodbye. California department asked foster parents how many migrant children they can house. All right. So, I mean, you're trying to do something good, right? You know, you got to take these kids in. You know, you got to make them comfortable. You don't want them laying there looking like little baked potatoes on the floor with their silver blankets on them and stuff. That was depressing. So let's do it. So foster parents in California got inquiries from a division of the state government asking them how many unaccompanied migrant children they could potentially house. The Daily Mail reports that the foster parents in the state have received a voicemail message from the Community Care Licensing Division, a part of their Department of Social Services, and it states that this is an emergency message. Please respond to this urgent message from the Community Care Licensing Division. We would like to know how many available beds you have to serve additional youth. Hey, that's all good stuff, right? We don't want kids on the floor. But here's how bad it is. They gave them a checkbox answer, the foster parents. How many kids can you take? One or two? Two or three? Four or five? The final checkbox was 26 plus. Yeah, you guys are stunned. That's what it said. 20. Can you take 26 or more?
Sure.
I mean, how many poor kids are stuck there because Biden said, come on in. You're future Democratic voters. We want you. Come on in. And then these poor kids, you know, one of the most depressing parts of this whole story, and I don't know if this is in notes or anything, but this just bugs me as a human being. The little girls, they're young ladies, women, who are on these treks to come up, and Mexico's having a fit now because Mexico had this thing worked out with Trump, and Mexico doesn't want these people in Mexico either. But they're all coming through Mexico to get to our border. All the girls are taking birth control with them on the trip because they know they're going to be sexually abused. Can we just stop this just on that alone? No child, teenager, or young adult woman should have to go through sexual abuse to get into this frigging country. Am I off base here anywhere?
Oh, I don't think so.
It just breaks my heart, man.
It's a giant mess. It is really what it is. This whole thing is a giant mess, and I don't see it getting better anytime soon. It's going to get far out of control. I mean, you had Lindsey Graham, you had all those guys down there on the border.
Do we have the Lindsey Graham clip? I do. Listen to what Lindsey Graham took about 18 senators. No, that was Cruz took 18 senators down to the thing. Lindsey Graham was there for a press conference at the border, and he was mad at the press. And we've got, about a minute of this?
Yeah.
All right, let's listen to Lindsey.
Just very quickly, instead of asking a Republican or a Democrat, why don't you ask the people in charge of policing the border what the problem is? Rather than making a political statement and a question, why don't you walk right over there and ask the guy, what the hell happened? We got a chart. I'll give it to you. This was June right here. See this spike? It was big. What did Trump do? He told Mexico, we're going to put tariffs on all your products, unless you allow us to have asylum seekers stay in Mexico. What happened? It went down to a 45-year low because nobody's going to pay $20,000 to come to Mexico and wait for 4 years. The day the first plane load of kids went back to Central America, the unaccompanied minor problem went to a 45-year low. So why don't you do your job as a reporter and ask the professionals what the hell has happened in the last couple of months, and they will tell you. They told the Biden administration, if you do what you're planning, we're going to lose control of the border. They were right.
There you go.
He nailed it. I mean, his compassion is the same as mine. These people should not have to go through this crap. They are paying these coyotes. You know, we talked about it last week. You know, what jobs has Biden created?
Coyotes.
Well, yeah. Yeah. They said the illegal trafficking of human being trade was making like 14 mil a week.
Yep. I saw one article that I read that coyotes were
$2 million a day.
Yep. We're bankrolling big bucks, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars. And right now they're rolling people across as quickly and as easily as they've ever been able to.
Poor little girls and the young adult women, maybe even the older adult women. I don't know. And they have to carry, you know, I'm going to send my 11-year-old to America because I have a cousin who lives in Cleveland and I'm going to try and get her there. But before she leaves, I have to buy birth control pills for her. Where is the humanity? You know, just because I'm conservative doesn't mean I'm a hater. That's what the media wants you to think. But most conservatives are the most compassionate people I know. The people who give the most to charity are conservatives. You know, who was pushing for the bus, the van for those two boys with a handicap? You know, Nick Searcy brought it up, and I pushed it, and I put my own money into it. You know, Nick Searcy makes me look like a friggin' liberal, but you know, we have compassion for people. But Nick Searcy also adopted a black male child when he was like 4 years old from Africa, and raised him as his own son. Does he get any credit for that? No, he didn't get any credit for that.
No, probably not.
Because he's an evil conservative. I'm so tired of this stuff. You got to fight back. You got to fight back. The only way we're going to get along, you know, the Democrats are not all crazy. They're not. But the people that are running them right now seem to be. And it just breaks my heart every day. I mean, I try not to watch the news as much as I used to watch the news because it just gets me upset.
I just want to know if I actually mark the box that I can take more than 26 kids, how much money they're going to give me. Because
get stimmy money.
Take 26 kids, put them up. You know, I'll find somewhere to put them if they're going to give me a bunch of money to do it. I mean, how much are they spending on the hotels? What was that number?
$89 million.
There you go. $89 million. While our National Guard slept in a parking garage during the
with one bathroom for 300 guys.
Yep. During that fiasco, but now we're going to put.
You
all
get the feeling our priorities are a little screwed up.
They are. Our priorities in this nation are very screwed up.
This is why I enjoy American Idol, because I don't give a flying flip what anybody's politics are. You know what I mean?
Well, and I
care about the kids as a person, and I care about their talent. And that's it.
And I have to say, kudos to American Idol, because all of these years they've kept politics out of that show.
They really have.
And it's one of the few that there isn't politics in.
You watch that other singing show and you get the snide comments from the panel all the time. So, yeah, but this border thing is just too much. It's too much trouble. But, you know, it gets even worse. And I hate to start the show out with these bummers. We'll get to something funny here in a minute. We discussed the teachers' unions and the horror that they're inflicting on our children, mainly in the blue states where they're, you know, they still locked down. What did Biden say yesterday or today? Revoke those no mask mandates. Get back in the masks. Why? Why?
Control.
It's because of control. We live in Florida. Rick and I do.
Yeah.
You know, the numbers in Florida are way, way low. The only reason we're not in the top 10 in economic growth in Florida is because the cruise industry is still shut down, and the entertainment industry, which brings people in from all over the country, is still running at a very reduced capacity. But
let me ask a question in regards to the cruise industry, though. Would that economy be considered Florida's economy, considering none of those boats are registered in the United States?
But all the people fly into Florida.
Okay.
They stay in hotels in Florida.
You're right. Okay.
They spend money in Florida when they get here. They spend money in Florida when they get back. It's definitely part of our economy. Plus all the dock workers, the people who maintain the ships and stuff, you know, those are Florida employees. Sure. So yeah, it is a big part of our economy. And Rick knows more about Disney World than anybody I know. What are they running at? 25%?
They're actually up to, I think, 35%.
Up to 35%. Okay.
Which, just think about that.
But
for
still, that's the largest employer in the state, and they're at 65% reduced capacity.
Yeah, so, I mean, just look at what that's doing.
And we're still doing well.
Well, yeah, but look at what that's doing to Disney's bank account, though. Not that they need the money, but you can only run 35% of what you're normally able to run. How do you make that work? I mean, they still have to be able to, you know, keep the ride. This is expensive stuff. Well,
there's
tens of thousands
of people still laid off because of those issues alone.
Yep.
So, but yeah, the hypocrisy that I was talking about is, again, in California, and it's the teachers' unions. I mean, these kids have suffered enough through this crap. Kids don't understand this thing. I mean, hell, we're adults. We barely understand it. You know, you got people who, vax, don't vax, blah, 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 blah. Well, teachers, that they don't feel safe enough to teach in person, even though there's been no studies showing that kids are any kind of transmission monsters for the COVID. And if you do things and you do it socially distanced with your stupid masks and all that other garbage, they should feel okay. But no, we're getting paid for doing these Zoom classrooms where kids are not paying any attention and they're not learning.
They're not.
But they made an exception in California this week. Teachers throughout the country refused to return to in-person instruction because of the coronavirus pandemic. And they've repeatedly moved the goalposts and the requirement for returning to the classroom. While many schools in San Diego remain virtual, the San Diego Board of Education is sending teachers to get this. Conduct in-person instruction for unaccompanied minors that have come across the border. Huh. Yeah.
Can't teach our kids.
Yeah. They tested them for COVID for a few days, and they had 108 positives in one day, and everybody was freaking out because they just let those people go. They just let them out into the United States. There's your super spreader event. It's because of what this administration is doing at the border. So they stopped testing them. Now they're not even testing them. They don't want to know. But these teachers,
plausible deniability.
We don't care about the American kids that we're getting paid $75,000 a year to teach. The hell with them. They can sit at home and get hooked on drugs or not learn or get depressed and miss out on sports, and suicide rate is up on young kids all over the country. And nobody talks about that, but it's true. You can look it up. It's depressing. But boy, we can go right down to the border and do our part as good little liberal teachers union people and teach these kids who probably have COVID in person.
Well, and here's my question, because I don't understand in full how unions work, but they probably don't have a choice in this. They probably are told that they have to, and I would assume they have to go, correct?
I don't know if the union's definitely pushing them or not. The union's definitely suggesting they do it. Okay. So, and the union is, and all teachers aren't, you know, far left wacko types, but the unions are beholden to them. So they are. The convention center in San Diego will house a maximum of 1,450 teenage girls between 13 and 17. You know, the ones that we were just talking about coming up with the birth control. The convention center is scheduled to remain a temporary housing facility now until July 15th. So these kids are stuck in the San Diego Convention Center for 4 months. And then they're going to take the unaccompanied minors and they're going to fly them and bus them in from other parts of the country. So they've got 350 flown in from Donna, Texas, another 150 from Tucson, and they're sending them all to the San Diego thing. So you're going to have 1,450 13 to 17-year-old teenage girls sleeping like a baked potato under one of those silver blankets. And they're stuck there for at least 4 months. But they're going to get educated by American teachers who won't teach American kids.
That doesn't make sense to me. It just our kids should come first. We should come first.
Well, we used to, and then the election thing happened. So, what do you think, Rick?
Yeah, you're right. The election thing happened, and that screwed up everything.
Got any way to fix this stuff?
Yeah. Now it's like America's second.
Yeah, it is. Hey, America's second or third. Depending on how much China owns of the individual we're speaking about. Oh, so anyway, we found someone else this week who isn't wild about Californication either. You're chuckling because you know what we're going to do next. Especially, they aren't wild about San Francisco. You know, a once great American city. It really was. It's still beautiful in a lot of ways. From a distance, you can't walk in it anymore. There's poop everywhere. You know, I remember the first time I went to California, it was on a business trip, and I was going up to Napa Valley and flew into San Francisco and drove around the city and went across the Golden Gate Bridge. And I was like thrilled. I'm taking pictures, hanging out the window of the car, snapping shots and stuff. It was just lovely. But that was like 1999. I wouldn't go anymore. But apparently we've got a pilot from Southwest who never wants to go there again either. We'll play the tape.
All right.
21.3 is ready to go. Yeah, fuck this place. Goddamn liberal fucks. Probably like 8 guns out here somewhere. That's it. Fucking weirdos. Probably driving around that fucking Hyundai's with fucking lower shit that goes slow as fuck.
And that's towing on tower. That's 12410, hot mic.
If you don't have balls unless you're fucking rolling coal, man.
I can't endorse this guy because you heard right there before the end. There was more, but there's some like blank spaces in between it, and we didn't want to have to do a bunch of edits and stuff. His last comment was at 20,000 feet, so you know it went on for a while. But the tower just told him, you know, 3450, whatever the heck the plane number was, hot mic. You know what hot mic means, idiot? It means everybody can hear your stupid mouth running.
You know what? That was probably his plan all along.
You think?
It wouldn't surprise me.
He wanted to become famous on internet and then get fired.
Did he get fired? That was going to be my next question.
I haven't found out yet. No.
I would assume he's.
I couldn't find
jobless.
Out today. Yeah, but he said about rolling coal. Rolling coal is like an anti-environmental thing. It's a practice of modifying a diesel engine to increase the amount of fuel entering the engine. To emit large amounts of black, gray, sooty exhaust fumes into the air. I'm not in favor of that.
Just from the sounds of it, I'm not in favor of it.
No. I want clean air, clean water. I'm not going to go hug a tree. I'm not going to become an environmentalist wacko and join a new religion. But pollution sucks. Speaking of which.
What?
Well, we got a pollution story coming up. Let's do the pollution story next. I'll go back to the cancel culture one. Because you like this story.
I do.
I know you like this story because you put it in the show post. And well, I said, I don't think I'm going to do it. And you went, eh.
It's got the word penis in the headline. You have to do the story.
That's true. Okay. So anyway. Listeners do know that we're not tree-hugging climate change religious zealots, but pollution is something that we have made huge progress on the last 40 years, and we're happy about that. Clean air, clean water. These are great things.
Unless you live in Detroit.
Or Flint around there, but yeah.
Well, yeah, Michigan.
Yeah. No, that
anywhere up there.
That was a bit of a problem. but there may be more threats and products that we use on a daily basis that have horrible effects. I'm not sure about this, but let's look at it together. Slim, you just looked at the headline.
No, I read the article. I mean, I looked at the article.
No,
too.
But I mean, I'll read. Should I do that? I'll do the headline first. Sometimes I like to hold the headline off as the punchline.
No, the headline's the best part of the story.
Headline to the story is, penis size is shrinking due to environmental pollution, scientists warns.
There you go.
Now, that is a scary thought for any male.
Shrinkage due to environmental pollution.
Yes, they're saying pollution is disrupting, in some cases destroying, our hormone balance. The chemicals responsible for that are found in everyday items like plastic containers, cleaning products, electronics, body care products such as shampoos and skincare, and more. And there's even PFAs, which are known as forever chemicals, that literally never degrade and just continue to amass in your body, causing irreparable harm. I think there is some truth to that, don't you? I've heard that before.
I do, but I just don't see how this is causing your penis to get smaller.
Well, we'll get to that. Rick, you're not a fan of PFAs, I take it?
No.
You know, I heard all the crap that's in soap. And like I said, you know, I'm not an environmentalist wacko guy, but I like clean things and I don't want to harm myself any worse than I already do. And I stopped using regular body wash and I started buying Dr. Squatch bar soap. Now, Dr. Squatch, they have funny commercials and it's not real cheap soap. I mean, by the time you get shipped in, it's about $10 a bar.
Wow.
But it smells great. Absolutely no chemicals in it whatsoever. And they have a lot of different smells and things. And, you know, nobody wears perfume or cologne or anything anymore. Or at least if they do, they gross me out because I can't stand it. But it gives you a nice, clean, pleasant smell. There's guys who use Dr. Squatch that have stopped using deodorant because they just don't need it.
I'm just laughing at his name.
Stuff works. Dr. Squatch. Have you ever seen the commercials? They're very funny.
No, I haven't. I'm going to look them up.
First name? Is his first name Sosh?
Dr. Squatch.
Yeah, so his first name is Sosh.
It could be Dr. S. Squatch, but they didn't make that clear to me. So they think this is a serious emergency. Dr. Swan points out in her book that sperm levels have dropped 60% since 1973. I believe that. I do believe that, because when I was a young man, my wigglies were slow.
Your wigglies?
My wigglies were slow, yes. I had to have my wigglies supercharged. That cost some money too, boy. Let me tell you. but that's an average of 1.25% drop per year, which is, you know, they say it's scary in the article. I agree with them. You know, if we can't reproduce ourselves, you know, we're gone. Eventually we're gone. We might be gone before the machines take over. So if we continue on this path, sperm levels could become non-existent by 2045.
Wow.
I'll be damn near dead by then or already dead, so I won't care, but that's not good. Now, women are especially affected by this, too. Women have a much smaller window in which they can have children in the first place, so it's even more concerning for them. The average 20-something woman today is less fertile than her grandmother was at 35.
And as much as I hate to say this, because, you know, we're going to sound like tree huggers, I can see that. It's not just environmental.
I'm an open-minded guy. You're an open-minded guy.
It's the stuff that you eat. Your grandmother, everything was cooked at home. I mean, you didn't have preservatives. You didn't have all these chemicals in the
stuff
food.
Picked outside.
Right. It's not just our environment that's causing this. It's everything in general. We walk into the store. Most people aren't conscious like you are to look at the back of the bar of soap and see what the ingredients are. They just grab the bar of soap, especially, yeah, you know, the people that are living on a budget. They grab the cheapest thing there. And they're not washing their body with soap. They're washing their body with chemicals. Yeah. And like it says in here, you know, over the years, some of these chemicals just don't break down and you're stuck with them forever. And this is going to cause problems, whether it be the reproductive systems. It could affect all sorts of systems in our bodies. I don't know. It's a mess.
Rick, what do you wash with, Rick?
I have a, what is it? I'll tell you in a second.
A loofah.
I think it's called Mountain Spring. It's a blue soap. I don't know. It looks good and it smells nice.
It looks good and it smells nice.
There you go. Yeah.
But you have no idea what's in it because most people don't.
No, correct. It's not Dr. Squatch.
Yeah, you check out Dr. Squatch. I'm serious. The there's a green one. It's aloe and something. And that one smells great. You smell like a lime tree or something.
You see, you go by the smell too.
Well, you know how I am with limes. You see me at the casino. What do I get? I get water with limes in it.
Yeah.
I'm a lime guy. I like my limes. I got a lime bush out back of my house here. I love when the limes come in. But number four is the one Slim's been waiting. He's like, hurry up. Hurry up, Zip.
You're fine.
Even men's penis sizes are changing. Yeah. So your grandfather was hung better than you are, boys.
I doubt it.
maybe not in your case. Because of PFOAs and other chemicals, men's penis sizes are shrinking across the board, as well as the volume of the testes. That's your cojones. That's
and
good.
Again,
for the people just came across the border, they understand what cojones are. While this may be more of a vanity issue than a practical one, the fact that human physiology is being irrevocably altered by environmental pollution is a serious concern. And it's unbelievable more is going to be done to stop it. You know, men just don't get riled up about stuff. But they found out, if they found out that the bottle that your Pepsi comes in is making your dick smaller, I can tell you right now, there's going to be some protests. We need to get the word out. Change these things.
I just have a hard time with the article saying environmental pollution, because I think most of this stuff is, like I said earlier, it's due to what we're putting in our bodies.
Well, they do make that clear at the top. They keep using environmental pollution as a catch-all, but they are basically saying it's in the products. And, you know, if you go to a doctor and you want to lose weight, first thing any reputable doctor is going to tell you is cut out processed foods.
Yep.
Yeah.
You got to cook what your grandma cooked. That's why.
Cut out processed foods, you lose the weight.
Could you imagine with the advances that we have in technology and medicine and everything else, if we ate and had the products of your grandparents' time with the knowledge that we have now and the medicine that we have now, people would live to be 120, 130 years old.
Happened in the last 10 years is the actual average age of American males, their average length of lifespan has dropped.
It's because we eat bacon.
It's gone from like 79 to 77.
And drink beer. I mean,
I don't drink.
Even this, I've said this before, the cigarettes that, you know, your grandparents smoked are completely different than the cigarettes we smoke today. Your grandparents smoked tobacco. We smoke chemicals. It's not, I mean, there's tobacco in it.
Fair point.
We smoke chemicals. They smoked tobacco. And that's all there is to it. And I mean, somebody said to me, well, you know, you're going to get cancer. You're going to get cancer. Well, yeah, probably I am. It is because I'm smoking chemicals. It's not.
I want to make one last point on this, if you don't mind.
No, go ahead.
Because I did a lot of work for the state of Pennsylvania as a contractor after we sold my company, and I didn't want to retire. So I put together the homeless reporting system for the Commonwealth of PA. Had a computer wizzo. I don't know how to do that stuff. It's like running the show. Slim does all that stuff. But I was the brains behind it, and I helped organize it, got all the people together, figured out what their needs were, and I made a system that worked for everybody. It wasn't easy. It took me over a year. But in that system, we took care of people. And it one of the things that I had to learn about to do a good job was things like lead paint, the laws on lead paint, you know, that changed in the late 70s. That was one of the areas of study that I had to go through to expand my knowledge on this area, because I was no expert on homeless when I started this thing. Lead paint was a big deal. Legislation fixed that. You're not allowed to have lead paint anymore. And if there is lead paint, it gets remediated, and states chip in and local governments chip in and they do that. We need something like that with these chemicals that people are putting into their bodies. We really do.
It's never going to happen.
These chemicals are found in the urine of babies.
Something's
got to be done. We should start a conservative movement for environmental protection.
The problem is people can't, as much as they can, most people are going to say they can't afford to eat fresh foods and fresh vegetables and fresh meat. They can. They just choose to take the easy approach and go to the store and buy everything prepared.
Yeah, I feel bad for kids who like live on ramen noodles. Oh my God.
Dog, you're getting sodium. That's noodles and sodium. That's all that is. I mean, it's the worst.
Do you eat ramen noodles, Rick?
Once in a while, I eat ramen noodles, but then I you know, the package of the seasoning, I don't use all of that because
that's where all the salt is.
That's where all of it is, yes.
I'll just put like, about a quarter of whatever that package is. And that's, as long as I get the flavor out of it, I'm fine. But the rest of it, I'll just toss. Plus, I don't eat salt.
I'm diabetic, and I don't do much in the way of pasta at all. And I limit things like French fries and stuff like that. But
look at the guy.
The noodles that you get, ramen noodles, if you get them at a Chinese restaurant,
yeah,
they're not made with anything but a little bit of beef or chicken broth. That's it.
Yeah, MSG.
Yeah, well, maybe a little bit of that. But still, I mean, you know, they taste great.
MSG, that's why they taste great.
But you eat the ramen noodles, and you got to drink a gallon of water. You're parched because of all the salt you just inhaled. All right, are we done bitching in America's health?
I guess.
All right.
Mostly.
Mostly. Well, we'll have to follow up on this. We got to get America straightened out. We want them to live. This week in cancel culture overkill, we've got a story from Minnesota. I like to see if I find one of these a week. It's usually not too hard.
No, it's very easy.
Because the cancel culture thing just drives me out absolutely crazy. It's like people can't talk anymore. A theater in Minnesota canceled its production of Cinderella. Guess why?
Well, I know why. I don't want to spoil it.
I know why also.
Oh. The cast had too many white actors. It's... Whether you want to believe it or not, that is racism. That's real racism. That's not the made-up kind of racism. That's racism. We can't... Oh, we're not going to do this play because... We're liberals, and look at all the white people. It's like the cast is 90% white. That doesn't reflect our values.
And why did they pick Cinderella?
So rather than recast it, they just shut it all down. And the funny thing is their statement. After careful consideration and with our ongoing commitment to diversity, equity, and inclusion, Chanhassen Dinner Theaters has made the decision to cancel our upcoming production of Rodgers and Hammerstein's Cinderella.
I don't understand how all the way through rehearsal and all the way through, you know, all of this, they didn't realize this sooner that they had all white people. I mean, just one night, all of a sudden, they were sitting around the table and they said, oh, shit, we don't have any black people. We have to cancel our show. I mean,
they did come up with a way of fixing it. The theater also announced it's going to invite and pay for a black, indigenous, or person of color to analyze the makeup of the cast and how to make the shows adequately anti-racist. Well, maybe you can make it anti-racist by stop being racist to start with. But see, they don't get that. They just don't. See, conservatives don't give a flying fig what color you are, what ethnicity you are.
No, it doesn't
matter to us. It matters to us your heart, your character, and whether or not you love our country.
You know, if this is what's going to happen, then we're going to see like the cartoon itself with Cinderella. They're going to actually Photoshop in somebody of color. I mean, this is the
they got a gay Spider-Man now.
Look, remember Elmer Fudd? They Photoshopped his gun out. I mean, come on. I mean, Elmer Fudd lost his gun. I mean, that's just bullshit. And that's the direction this country is heading. We're taking away cartoons, you know, guns because it's bad. It's offensive. I mean, Elmer Fudd runs around chasing the rabbit now with no gun. Do you know how stupid that looks?
What about Popeye? Brutus used to grab olive oil by the hair and drag her off.
Yeah, it's offensive now.
We can't have that.
No, that's womanizing. You can't do that.
Yeah. Well, I got another one of these. This isn't really cancel culture, but this is another racist story. It just kills me because they don't get it. I realize racism is not criminal, okay? I want to do stupid criminals here, but let's do this. Everything gets called racist when the left doesn't have any cogent arguments to make. You know, it's like, hey, you can't answer my question? And the liberal response is, I won't answer it because you're a racist for asking it. Oh, okay. There you go. That's a great argument. You know, we used to debate things. I had debate when I was in school. Did you guys do debate?
Yep.
Rick, did you do debate?
We did a little, some, but not a lot, really.
The secret to debate was you had to be able to defend either side.
Yeah.
You had to take the A position or the B position.
And, you know, that's one of the things like
nobody does it anymore.
No, but there's like people like you, me, and a few other, you know, handful of people that I know can do that still. We're not totally right or totally left. We can still see both sides of everything and understand it. And there's not enough of us that can do this, though. That's the problem. There's because so many people, like my father-in-law, you know, it's one news station. If they don't say it on that news station, I don't believe it.
You know, I gotcha.
There's too much of that.
Well, continue. The left devalues the word racist, and that's a serious word because racism is a serious problem. And, you know, I've said this before. I'll say it again. I don't know anybody on my side of the aisle who would tolerate a racist. I won't. You know, if I hear somebody use the N-word, they aren't my friend anymore.
Yeah, you know, but I have a hard time being mad at a white person for using the N-word when they go around and do it to themselves all the time.
I give them the benefit of the doubt on that one. I don't, you know.
I know. This one of the hard
I know what things. You're saying. I just.
I would never call somebody that, but I just. It's hard for me to judge somebody who
there.
Does. I know. It's tough. It's a tough
and I just. Well, look, you got to have a line of demarcation in anything. And that's one of my lines of demarcation. Okay. If you're comfortable using that word because you're white and I'm white, I'm not comfortable with you. You know what I'm saying?
Makes sense.
Okay. Yeah. Well, my stupid racist of the week, and I am calling her a racist because she is, and I'll explain, is a Democrat and an elected official who thinks she's the absolute opposite of racist. We will explain. Democrat mayor of Oakland, California, Libby Schaaf, has announced a new program last Tuesday, which will give $500 a month, no strings attached checks, to some low-income families. That's not a bad thing, right?
That's a great thing.
$6,000 a year, low-income families, that's the difference between, you know, surviving and not surviving.
Absolutely. That's awesome. God bless them. I'm moving there. Yeah, oh, wait. No, I can't.
It's starting this spring. And she has 600 randomly selected families in Oakland receiving the $500 checks each month for at least a year and a half. Okay? These families will have to make less than $30,000 annually and have at least one child. All these things are good. This is the best part of the Democratic Party. They reached out and they helped the poor. Okay. And they encouraged people to help the poor. Now they did it with government money. I'd rather do it with donations, but that's a minor point. The problem with Mayor Libby Schaaf's program is that this $500 a month, no strings attached for poor families in Oakland is only if they're a family of color. If you're a low-income white family, you are expressly excluded.
Wow. Which in itself is racist.
That is exactly my point.
Yeah.
Well, and like I said,
they must be black, indigenous, or otherwise identify as people of color.
Well, can
money
I...
comes from a $7 million fund raised for the Oakland Resilient Families Program. And it's 100% funded through philanthropic donations. So this isn't even tax money. Okay, so this is all good stuff. Except for she said, yes, I'm going to help out the poor people of my city. Unless they're white like me.
Well, but didn't you say the key word there? Identify as a person of color or keywords.
Well, that's true. I could identify as a black man.
I mean, come on. How many people have tried to identify as Indian? So
Warren?
I'm 2.7% Penobscot, baby.
You count. You count. Elizabeth Warren, she does not count.
No, I don't count because I'm pissed. I'm still pissed about this. People haven't heard the story. I'm going to tell it quick. I did that 23andMe thing because my great-grandfather said his wife was a 100% full-blooded American, Native American Indian. Okay? And I did the math on that. So that means I should end up being like 6.5% Native American Indian. If you're 6% Native American Indian,
you can get on a casino.
You can get a casino license.
Let's go, buddy.
I've always wanted a casino. So I did the 23andMe test. I'm like going, yeah, here it comes. Here it comes. Here it comes. 2.7%.
You got lied to somewhere.
My great-grandfather fibbed.
Well, that's the test is lying.
Take another one. Go to one of the other sites and take the test. And
I'm
see
not going to jump from
it.
2.7 to 6. No, these things are very accurate. But there you go. We got a Democratic politician who thinks she's doing something wonderful, and is all proud of herself, and doesn't get what she's doing is in a, of itself absolutely positively racist.
Well, that's what I wonder if they even think about that. Does that thought go through their
mind? They don't
mind,
think about
they
that.
Just
that's
think
the
about
problem.
The, or they just think about, well, I'm doing something nice for people. It doesn't matter that I'm not including the white people. If any mayor did this and only included white people, they'd burn down their house. I mean, there's no way that this would ever fly if it was only white people included. I mean, would you see this working?
There's no politician in America stupid enough to recommend it.
No.
But if they recommend it for people of color,
it's okay.
Oh, they're supposed to get all the accolades from their liberal friends. Aren't you wonderful? What a great mayor you are, Miss Libby.
Miss Libby.
And
well, we live in Florida. We got to call everybody Miss something or Mr. something, you know.
But let me ask this. Are we being racist in ourselves by being offended by this or I mean, are we also being racist because we're not agreeing
no.
with what she's doing?
Come on. I've been consistent my whole life.
I don't care willfully
what,
being racist.
I don't care what religion you are, color you are, creed you are, ethnicity you are. I care about who you are. And I will defend minorities more than I'll defend white people because some of them haven't had the same opportunities as white people. And I agree with that. Now, should we turn the entire economy upside down? And should we punish the rest of the country because of a few instances that I just spoke of? I don't think so. I think that's overkill. But, you know, you got to be fair. You know, what if they only gave the money to Italians? What if only Rick could get the money and we couldn't?
Why, you think that's funny?
Funny how?
That's beating a dead horse.
That kind of funny. Well, I know, but it cracks me up every time you do that. So. I don't care.
Now he's fuck you at the drive-thru.
that's my favorite Pesci line of all time.
God damn, they do, too.
They do.
Ate the cannoli.
I've got my Vincent Gambino law firm T-shirt. It says serving Utes since 1987. It's one of my favorite shirts. You see that? I've worn that down there. Oh, anyway, so that's just what's going on. The hypocrisy is just killing me. We got to learn to talk to each other, not at each other all the time. And people, you know. They just demonize everybody on our side. And all they're doing is encouraging our side to start acting in the way that they say we already act. And there are people on our side who aren't that bright, too.
And guess what else they need to do? Well, guess what else they need to do? They need to stop blaming Trump. He's gone now. And I'm still seeing this all through, you know, social media. People are still blaming everything on Trump, blaming it
you
on
see
Trump's
what happened to CNN's ratings, Brent?
I did not.
Oh my God! Did they go down 44% or something?
Well, they suck. CNN's awful.
Well, they don't have, but they're still doing Trump stories every day.
But nothing else to report.
Yeah, even because they won't tell the truth about anything Biden does. But they're trying to beat the dead horse to keep their ratings in there. Even their own viewers are going, you guys need to give this the hell up.
Exactly. We need to stop blaming Trump and push forward. None of this is Trump's fault. This is all the Democrats. This is all Biden. This is all Kamala Harris. This is not Trump anymore.
Well, I don't think it's either one of them. I think it's the people pulling the strings.
I think Mark
Zuckerberg, yeah, first and foremost among them, but we aren't going to get into that.
But
tonight.
don't think for one second though that Kamala's not part of that group. She's
she's not that bright.
Yeah, but she's young, and if she, being young, they've got. But that's young in terms of she's got a long political career ahead of her. So she's definitely.
That's true. California female politicians last forever.
Yep. Look at Nancy Pelosi.
And Feinstein's older than Pelosi. So, all right. So anyway, that was a stupid politician. We do have a stupid criminal to close with. Well, we're going to close with something else, but the next last story, because we don't want the hate mail if we skip stupid criminals. I got hate mail when we skipped stupid criminals a few weeks ago. And again, from California, these guys are not having a good week, are they?
No.
Oh, man. Our stupid criminal of the week from Fullerton, California. Police say they have arrested the unidentified man who broke into Big Slice Pizza in Fullerton, California last Sunday morning. Well, it was actually a month ago, but that's okay. You can pretend it was last Sunday. Surveillance video shared by police showed the suspect measured out dough for pizza while wearing gloves for food safety. Yeah, he stole $500 in cash first. And then since he handled the dirty money, he put on gloves. And then he tried to make himself a pizza. They can joke about it now because he's in custody, but the crew came to work after the break-in and discovered the cash drawers had all been stolen, the electronics, tools, a couple of six packs of beer, and the delivery car was also gone. So he gets all this done. He screwed up making the pizza. He took the beer, took the money. Okay. And he stole the pizza delivery car for his getaway.
That's not too hard to find, is it?
I kind of think that's kind of what led him right to him.
Probably a GPS in it.
This guy spent over 2 hours in the store. But it's the images of him working the two balls of dough like any experienced pizza maker that have everybody talking. You think it's kind of funny, but you know, we did get robbed, so that
Maybe they should give him a job.
Well, he's it's California. He might be out in 3 weeks.
Well, if it was New York, he'd have been out 10 minutes later.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So anyway, we were talking about our compassion for people and stuff, and one of the reasons we like American Idol. Because there is no politics in it. It's just, you know, who the people are as a person and how much talent do they have.
Yeah.
And for those of you who don't watch American Idol, tough. You should. And then you can listen to our shows on Sunday, Monday nights because we're pretty damn good.
It's still one of the best shows on TV when it comes to reality. You know, it is what reality TV is.
Yeah. Season 19 of American Idol finished Hollywood Week, and they gave the contestants the first chance to perform with a full band during the showstopper round of the competition this past weekend. Well, that's when it aired this past weekend. After each contestant sang, the judges, Katy Perry, Luke Bryan, and Lionel Richie, delivered the news about whether or not they'd be making it to the next round, which is the top 24. Contestant Philip Murphy delivered an interesting performance when he auditioned for the show. He intrigued the judge, and they put him into Hollywood Week. And he surprised them with his spirit during the duet round. And then his time on the show came to an end after the showstopper round. Now, the thing about Philip Murphy is a young man who grew up dirt poor, with all kinds of family problems and things, but he plays the guitar. He's blind in one eye. He's got some kind of disease. He's going to lose the sight in his other eye before he's in his mid-30s, he says. He's like 27 now. He's traveled the country as a homeless guy, playing music and singing for people to earn his keep, to feed himself. And he writes songs about his personal experience. And if you're not moved by them, I think you're just a callous son of a bitch. Because this kid gets to you, you know. He's a sweetheart. And Brent and I saw him on his audition, and we thought, well, you know, his story is great. His song was really good. But his singing voice is not what you expect from somebody who's, you know, going to win American Idol. Then in LA Week, when he did the duet, it's like he sounded better, right, Brent?
Much better. Oh yeah, he definitely caught my eye at that point. He started to make my, you know, possible list.
And then he did the Showstopper song, and I mean, I had a tear in my eye. It's how touching this was. And then he went up to the judges, and he sat down with the judges, and he said, they asked him about his journey and everything else. And he says, you know, you told me I had to sing better. He says, I've been trying. He says, last night on stage was the freest I ever felt. And I think that was the best vocal performance I've ever given. And then they sent him home.
Yeah.
And then we find out that one of the males who did make the top 24 quit the show. Okay.
For good reason.
Yeah, he has a good reason. We aren't going to go into all that. But
no.
There was an open slot for another male. We think Philip Murphy should have gotten it.
No, instead they gave it to a female.
They gave it to a female contestant, so it's 13-11 in the top 24. But Philip Murphy is gone from American Idol. We hope he's not gone from Idol Radio, because we're trying to reach out. We'd love to get him on the show. But we're going to close tonight with this Showstopper song that he did. It's an original song called Am I Still Mine?
Do you want me to play it and we'll come back, and because we still got 3 minutes?
Go ahead, play it.
All right, because I want to bowl. All right.
And we'll talk about it.
Okay. Color my skin with roses and thyme. Are you still mine?
Last night was my birthday wish. Last night, getting to be on that stage and feel like I was at home. Getting to sing a song that made me feel like I could share something beautiful with someone.
I see a long train running, still catching my eye. As I sleep in that boxcar, I break down and cry. Color my skin with flowers and whiskey.
I think, Murphy, what's so special about you is seeing you grow right before our very eyes.
My voice has never been stronger.
Wow.
Color me barren. Color me full. I am a fool. I am still yours. I am a fool. I'm still yours. Are you still mine?
Love that kid. And they cut him on his birthday.
Yep. Bunch of assholes.
Anyway, so that's it. So tune into American Idol and listen to us Sunday, Monday nights, 11 o'clock on Zone Out Radio. Get the app for your phone. It's free. iTunes, Google Play. We have no commercials.
That's right.
It's awesome. Thanks. Thank Brent DJ Slim for that.
That's right. No commercials.
What else we got to announce?
Nothing. That's it. Nothing at all.
See, I've listened to you do it so many times, I can do it.
Yeah, well, I'm just trying to pull up a song to play here at the end, because we kind of did that a little different than we normally would, because we would have not made it to the 11
o'clock. Well, we do own Zone Out Network. So.
Well, yeah, but I want to go to 11.
We can do it any way we want.
But yeah, you nailed it all. Listen to us on Sunday and Monday, again for Off the Hook on Tuesday, and get the app. That's basically
and,
it.
And as long as he wasn't at Disneyland the whole day before... Rick will join us.
I'll join you.
Cool.
As long as you're right. If I'm at Disney, I'm walking around, my feet kill me, and I don't want to hear anything at the end of the day.
We got to have priorities, baby. I understand. It's okay.
I would be my Disney. My Disney or Bush or... Well, I'm a theme park junkie. What do you want?
May the 4th be with you. You'll be there on May 4th,
I'll
right?
be there on that day. Supposedly, they do special... Something special.
All right, now if fans see you there, will you sign autographs?
Yeah, sure. Maybe what am I afraid of? On that day, I have a blue T-shirt, and it'll say, since I do photography, it'll say, I have a little graphic of a camera, and it's going to say, warning, they may snap at any time.
He's already got his outfit planned. There you go.
Well, They're going to know who I am. They'll know who I am.
There you go. Yeah, that's like me when a guy catches a two-outer on the river. I could snap it anytime.
You don't have a camera on you.
No, I don't have a camera. Thank God.
All right, we'll close. I got a song. One we haven't played yet that we were going to play a couple of times, and we didn't because we did some Joey Cook. And well, we're just going to do My Favorite Girl from American Idol, even though it's not the Idol radio show.
Ellie Reinhart.
There you go. Good night.
She's everybody's favorite girl.
Well, of course.
It's been a long time since I came around. It's been a long time, but I'm back in town. And this time, I'm not living without you. It tastes like whiskey when you kiss me. I'll give anything again to be your baby doll. Yeah, this time, I'm not living without you.
Eat me.